received a card this week, and I want to share it with you. It's a thank you card. It says, "Dear members of the Ross Community United Methodist Church, Dan and I wanted to thank you for the monetary support and the continued prayers for Kyle, Courtney, and the baby. We will be delivering the money to them on Friday. The kids have had to stay in Philadelphia to be near the hospital, and the money will help them with all of their added expenses. It will be worth it when the baby is born at the end of May. Courtney and the baby are doing well. The surgery was a success, and we can feel all of the love and the prayers. Thank you. God is good." That actually is from Dan and Gail Young, and in case you don't know, their children, unborn baby, had to go through in vitro surgery for a tumor on his heart. And surgery was a success, which we expected it to be. I talked to somebody the other day who told me that they had had some tests and said they came back normal. Said that's not what we expected. What I expected. Because that's what God does. The unexpected sometimes to us. A professional juggler was driving to his next performance one day when he was stopped by the police. And the police officer looked in the car and said, "What are you doing with the matches and the lighter fluid in your car?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'm a professional juggler." And he said, "I juggle flaming torches." And the officer says, "Oh yeah, let me see." So he's out standing along the side of the road juggling his flaming torches, and a couple driving by slows down and looks, and the passenger says to the driver, says, "Wow, look at that," said, "I'm glad I quit drinking. Look what they're doing for tests now." We're back to joke Sunday. Somebody asked me what happened to the joke, and the series on the cross I thought was very serious, so I kind of, laid off then. But I think God enjoys a little humor in our lives. Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 6, he says, "I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi 3, 6. Fortunately, the Christian world today, many churches teach the blessings of God, and we've talked about that. Health, prosperity, peace, comfort are the blessings of God. And I said last week, there's some others that teach that sickness and all that other garbage is there for a blessing. And I don't buy that, and I don't think anyone else should buy it. I talked to a man this week, and it was an interesting conversation because he told me he was struggling with church attendance. And he'd visited here before on a couple special occasions. And he said, I'm a Christian. He said, "I'm just struggling with it." And so anyway, I got to talking to him about it. I said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Well, the pastor's good. He doesn't come here." Thanks. But he said, "The pastor's good." He said, "Really enjoy him." He said, but it seems to be that there's some issues in the church and the gospel's being watered down. And he said, "I just don't believe that's the gospel." And I said, "Well, a watered down gospel's not really what it's all about." And so I asked him if he was attending. I said, "You're struggling with it?" And he said, "No." And there comes a time in our life when there are things that are going on and we don't like. We sometimes just need to tighten up our belt, pull up the big boy pants, and just plug on. And so it's what I tried to explain to him, that you can't just give up. Because if you give up, that's what Satan wants. And that's what Satan expects us to do, is to give up. So I mentioned that, that there are some people that believe that sickness is a blessing and all that, that type of thing. And we could settle that very simply with any believer or any non-believer if they just understood one simple verse in Genesis. It says, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God did. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, I sent out an email this week, and I'm not going to ask you if you read Genesis 1 this week, but it was a kind of some preparation for the message. But Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and I want us to keep these in mind. Then God said, we will make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created mankind in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. And so if we could ever get to the place where we realize that God created us in his image, then it puts that idea of sickness and garbage and all that stuff as a blessing out the window. Because God was perfect, and he didn't deal with any of those things. So as I look back at this, the first order of creation, the first order of anything that God ever said after this creation was that he was going to inform creation that he was going to create man. Because you remember that every other thing was created before man. And so I think it's interesting when we look at Genesis and we see his intention and we see what he was talking about doing, that he had a plan laid out for man. But unfortunately, Adam sinned. Unfortunately, Eve sinned. But the one thing that didn't change throughout all of that was God. God's plan didn't change. God had made up his mind for man, and he had made up his mind that man was going to succeed, and there was nothing that was going to change that. Man rebelled, Adam failed. God remained the same. He didn't change. You ever been around somebody who's made up their mind and they're never changing it? My mother was the perfect picture of that. You would ask her something, if you could do something, and she'd say, no. Well, why? Just because. Heard that? Well, why? What's just because? Just because, and I didn't tell her that, but just because is pretty lame. Because I didn't need to go, you know, her to get a belt or go, you know, to talk back to her. So I've often told people my mother was a very strict disciplinarian. But we've never been in prison. So she must have did a good job. But she was never giving. It was always because I said so. She'd never change her mind. Nothing was ever going to make her waver. And although that sounds a lot like God, my mother didn't nearly approach God, you know, in that respect. But one of the things that we see is God doesn't change either. Once he sets something in place, it remains the same. And if we were to attempt to look at the plan of God, the plan that he laid out from the beginning, we would see that nothing's changed. His plan is the same for man today as it was for Adam. Genesis 1:1-3 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that passage sets the stage for the beginning and the formation of creation. Kind of gives us a first glimpse of what God's plan was. And I think it's interesting when we look at that, and he said, let there be light. And keep that thought in mind, because actually the literal translation of that is not let there be light, but it is light be. When he spoke it, it happened. There was no time delay. There was no 5-second delay as we see on TV for interviews and things like that. And so when we look at this creation story and we look at what the Creator's doing, as He released light then, He's releasing light on the gospel today. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, the meaning of the gospel has been lost. But the message that God laid out didn't change. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love, and that sums up everything that has to do with what God has done and has said. In Psalm 78:38, God is full of compassion. Psalms 149:8-9 says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are all over His works. Full of compassion. It's never ending, always enduring. And then according to the psalmist in 145:9, he said, the Lord is always and forever good. The one thing that sin couldn't change was God. God is good. He has he's absolute good. He has absolute love. He has absolute compassion for His people and for us. And that's why when he goes and is walking and Moses sees him and Moses hides from the image of God, simply because Moses was contaminated and God was pure. And so God created the universe to have someone and to have something to love, something to appreciate. And so that's why He created man, which kind of answers the question, did God always exist? Because God did always exist. He certainly did. The one thing about compassion is this, is it cannot be satisfied with selfish endeavors. And if we look at what God did, there was certainly nothing selfish about what He did in the creation story. Excuse me, I got to get off my knee. It is getting better. But when He said, let there be light, think of it this way. And some people might look at that and say, well, that's crazy. But if God is love and God is light, then everything that was created by God was created for love and with a purpose in mind. So when we look at the original language out of the Old Testament, we look at that and when it says, let there be light, it simply says, light be. And so we ought to ask ourselves, well, what's such a big deal about that? Why is that so important? And what it does is it brings into us the idea and the thought that He's about to bring forth a family. He's about to bring forth people into the world, into His own image. And throughout Genesis, in verse 6, 7, God said, and so it was. Verse 9 about the water, God said, and so it was. Verse 11, plant life, and God said, and so it was. Verse 14 and 15, light, sun, and stars, God said, and so it was. Verse 30, 31, living sea creatures, God said, and God saw, and it was good. Verse 24, about the animals, God said, and it was so. So He upholds all things by His word. And by the testimony of Him, in essence, really, it is what it does, because He releases to us this power. He releases this light to us. It might be called the power of light. But I read something this week, and I thought it was interesting. And the question was, how significant is this? So I want you to watch this. Listen. The light that God spoke on the first day was not visible light. And you think, well, you just said that He said, and it was good. It says that in verse 14 and 15. But if you look in Genesis, He said that before. It wasn't a kind of light that God needed the darkness lit up so He could see what He was doing. He knew what He was doing. The sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. The first day in that light that He's talking about is the light of His glory. And it's the light of Him. And because if you go back, and take a look at this, if you didn't get a chance to read it, read the first chapter of Genesis this week, but you'll find out that as we look in verses 14 through 19, you'll see that whole creation process. The first day was the light of his glory. It was his presence. It was the presence of God Almighty. So if we look and we read from Genesis all through the Bible, all the way through Revelation, we see there's a phrase in there and a term is there that God is light. And when God said light be, what he was doing was releasing himself into that creation process. He released himself because he is light. And we see that in that first part of Genesis. And so anyway, a lot of people are always looking about, well, what does science say about this? If this is so true. And one of the things that we're seeing is, and scientists Ray and I have had some conversation about this, if they're honest with themselves, they're admitting that science is catching up with the Bible. And there's things that the Bible has said that science is beginning to prove. And so science is acknowledges that light is the original force. And God said, and God is light. And so what, you know, they continue to say, really, that light becomes the power of creation. And so without light, there is no creation. So what's all that mean? It means that even before the foundation of the earth, God used his own power, his own light, to create the planet. And when he said light be, it was more than just a Big Bang theory. It was more than just a cataclysmic, you know, collision of something. But it was a theory that he had from the very beginning when he laid out his plan for man. He wanted to be surrounded by his glory. He wanted to be surrounded by those people that love him. He wanted to be surrounded by people that say, in him we live and move and have our being. That's what it's all about. In him. And sometimes that's a little hard to understand. Sometimes it's a little hard to accept. But one of the things that we see now is heaven, earth are complete. The next thing that he does is he creates man. And that's probably after the plants and everything else. But the Bible says that he formed the body from the dust of the earth. He fashioned an image of man after his own image and created him just like he expected him to be. Inwardly, outwardly, he created him in his image. And he created it in that plan that he had. You might say he had a blueprint for what he was going to do that he referred to back to creation. But even before, as part of his plan, he created Adam and Eve, he knew about Roger. Roger was in his plans. Yeah, sorry, Judy. But that was. And he was. That's part of the blueprint of God, and that's what the whole part and plan of creation is really about. If you think about that, it's amazing. He created man in his image not to sin, and yet man sinned, so what happened? Rather than God throwing the towel in and being changed by sin, he had a plan of redemption, a plan of regeneration for Adam as well as for us. And so what was affected by sin and affected by Satan, when God looks upon a Christian, he doesn't see the sin. He sees his image of what he created us to be. And to me, that is just amazing. If you close your eyes and think about the whole creation story, and we stop and think, and Jesus is getting ready to create a man, and there's not a sound there, not a bird singing, not a bee buzzing around, and I'm sure the angels are standing around there, and they're pretty excited to see what's about to take place. And in all that excitement and all that enthusiasm, there was one individual, angel, that wasn't too excited about it. We've heard him called Lucifer, Satan, whomever, but he was not interested in ministering to this new creation that God was going to bring about. He didn't want to waste his talent. And the Bible says that he was one of the most gorgeous angels ever created. Apparently he was in charge, and I read this somewhere, of all of the music in heaven. What an awesome responsibility. But he didn't want to be involved in that. He didn't, you know, and he didn't have the opportunity that being made in God's image like we are. And so what he thought he would do was rebel. And so when he rebelled, he took a third of the angels with him. But what he thought it was going to do was lift him up. But what really happened is it brought him down big time. He and those that followed him were thrown out of heaven. From that day forward, they had nothing. The Bible says they owned nothing. They belonged nowhere. They didn't have a place to go. They invaded the planet and became what we have often heard referred to as principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. It became the lowest form of life on the planet. And so as a result of that, they have no place in our families, and that's why I think it's important we pray for our families. They have no place in our lives because we're made in the image of God. And when God looked at Adam and he spoke to Adam, those words brought life. When he actual speaking of the words, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils. And when he spoke to him, the first words he didn't hear. But the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living being. And what happened is the word that he spoke to him got inside of him and changed him. We can hear stuff all the time. And we do. We hear a lot of stuff going on, you know, all the time. But what we need to understand is when God breathed that life in, he also breathed in his presence. And Satan came along and tempted Adam, and you know the story. But God didn't change, and sin didn't change God. Born of God's word and created in his exact likeness, man was love. Just like God is love. Man was light, just like God was light. Man was full of compassion, just like God is full of compassion. Man was light, just like God. The only difference was that God is eternal, he's sovereign, and man depends on God. But we are created in his image, created to do his work, created to be his emissary on the earth today. I'm sure the angels were somewhat shocked to see this image of God creating a human being in the exact image of God. Genesis 1:21-28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" That is God's plan for mankind, and that's God's plan for us, is to have dominion. Dominion means that we speak against sin, we speak against sickness, we speak against the things that are wrong in the world. And so when we look at what part of this is the blessing is that the Bible said, "And God blessed them and said to them." This is his plan. This is his commission. These are the first words that Adam ever heard. And so when it seems like things get tough and times get hard, and they do, I'm not going to sit here and tell you life's a bowl of cherries, because it really isn't. What was it, Irma Bombeck? Some book called Life's Not a Bowl of Cherries and Why Am I in the Pits or something. Something like that. And there are tough times. But the blessing is, and they sang it earlier, is when the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when the battered and scarred, when we spend our resources, when we've given it all, we press on, because that's what God's plan is for us. And that's what that part of that blessing is. God bless you.